Father, truly, truly let it rain in this place today, Father. That is the cry of our heart this morning, Lord, to just, Holy Spirit, just rain. Just rain. Just rain. Just rain. Just rain. Just rain in our bodies. Rain in our hearts. Rain in our minds. Rain in our emotions. Rain in our circumstance. Rain in our need, Lord. Wherever the issue is, Lord, rain. Rain. Take everything and take your seat and reign, Father. Reign. You are King and you have authority, and we give it to you now, Lord. We ask that you would come and sit on your throne in this place, Father. I pray that you would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in this place this morning, Lord. Holy Spirit, you have free will to reign in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit, and in our soul this morning, Lord. We lay down our circumstance at your throne. We lay down our hurt, our pains, and we give them to you because you died on the cross for our needs. Father, we don't just give in part, Lord, but we give wholly. Father, we give wholly because you say, come to the throne of grace with confidence. Give wholly. Give wholly to me. Give it all to me. Don't just take a piece and give it away and think that you can do the rest on your own, because you can't. Apart from me, there is nothing. Apart from me, there is nowhere to go. Just come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. The I is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The I is Jesus. He will be that easy yoke upon your shoulder. He's so good. He's so good. But you gotta seek him. You gotta seek first the kingdom of God. You gotta seek first his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Just turn your face towards him, ladies. Turn your face towards his light, towards his heat, towards his glory, towards his throne, and just tell him, reign, God. Reign in my life. I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. Thank you, Jesus. This is yours, Lord. Oh, Father, that our ears may hear this morning. Oh, Father, that our ears may hear this morning. I can't emphasize that enough. Oh, Father, that our eyes would begin to see the kingdom come alive in our circumstances, in our life. That our minds would understand. Oh, that our minds would understand, because the Bible says we perish. We perish for lack of understanding. Oh, Father, that we may understand this morning, and that our hearts may receive. Take away the callous hardness of the world and soften us, Lord. Meet, tenderize us, God, so that we can receive your word. For it is life, for it is abundance. For his food, Jesus, you knew what you were talking about when you said, I have food you know not of. Father, we are here because we want to know of the unknown food that you possess. We want to know of the unknown food that you possess, God. We don't want to be trapped in the food of this world, Father, but we want the food of your glory. We want the food of your kingdom, Lord. Feed us from the feast that you have laid and prepared for us, Father. Feed us, Lord. Feed us with your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Cover these women. Cover these women right now. Holy Spirit, set a flame on top of their heads. Holy Spirit, just come and cover them. Protect them. The blood of Jesus over them, over their lives, over their circumstances as they go to and from, Lord. Be with them. Give them, Holy Spirit, intuition in every circumstance and situation. Lately, I've been hearing of so much Holy Spirit intuition that has been saving people's lives. We're talking saving people's lives on the road, in their car, and taking wrong directions, going wrong places. The Holy Spirit intuition has been saving people's lives. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty, 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 mighty name. Amen. 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 Oh, Holy Spirit, you are so good. Holy Spirit is so good in this place this morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Amen. I know the Holy Spirit's got my tongue too. I can't talk as well. God is so good, and he's doing such good things in here this morning. I'm so excited to be at Ruth 4. You might be thinking, Ruth 4, is this the end? Well, it's the end of Ruth, but we have what? 5 studies. So you might be thinking here this morning, what's the 5th one? Is there a missing link somewhere? Is there a scroll somewhere with Ruth chapter 5? I'm sorry to inform you, but there's not. But the whole title of this teaching is A Journey Home. So what better way to end it than discovering the journey that Jesus took home? So after today, Ruth 4, we're going to go into the New Testament, and we are going to go into the journey that Jesus took home, because there is so much to learn from that. We're talking from birth to death to resurrection life. There's so much to learn from that, and that's what next week is going to be. You're not going to want to miss it. You might be thinking, well, I'm just going to cap out after this because Ruth is the one I really like. Let me tell you what, Jesus made Ruth, and we need to finish with him. So if we can all just turn to Ruth chapter 4 this morning in our Bibles. Remember, Ruth is after, y'all should know this by now, 4th week. Thank you. It's after Judges. If you go to the Kings and you go to Samuel, you've gone too far. The title of today's message is When Now Becomes Eternal Value. If you've been paying attention to all the titles definitely tell you what the story is going to be about. Today is about the eternal value that Ruth chapter 4 teaches us about. As we have learned in previous teachings, Boaz is a picture of the kinsman redeemer, is he not? That's what last week was all about. He is that picture of Jesus. He is that picture of Jesus purchasing us from old law, from old ways, to bring Ruth, who is a Moabitess, us who are Gentiles. Do we have any Jewish people in here? Jewish people? Okay. Well, then I can truly say, us Gentiles in to covenant under new law. You're going to have to really pay attention this morning because we're really going deep this morning. So pay attention. Us Gentiles into covenant under new law. Boaz was very persistent in his marriage with Ruth. As you remember at the end of last chapter, he says the matter will not rest until it is completed today. Do y'all remember that? It was the last verse of chapter 3. He says this matter will not rest. It will not rest until it is completed today, until it is finished today. Boaz wanted Ruth. He pursued marriage with Ruth. Jesus was persistent with his purchase to us. I must say that again. Jesus was persistent with his pursuit of marriage with us. All 3 years he ministered on earth, he constantly was telling people, I need to get to Jerusalem. I am headed to Jerusalem. I am going up to Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem was where the marriage would take place. Jerusalem was where he was going to hang on that cross and give his life for us. Come on, ladies, that's marriage. That's marriage. When you come into true covenant in marriage, you are becoming unselfish with each other. And you say, I give all of me. And the other one says, I give all of me. That's what makes a marriage grow. That's what makes a marriage flourish. Being unselfish, giving of yourself to somebody else. And he did it for us. He was persistent in his marriage to us. Look at verse 6 real quickly. I'm hoping that every one of y'all did your studies. And you've all read Ruth 4, right? Amen? No lying in the house of God. Here we go. Verse 6. At this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. Now, if you remember this, there was another kinsman redeemer before Boaz. Come on, ladies, go with me. There was someone else that was first that would get the option of taking Ruth. And Boaz had to go talk to that kinsman redeemer. Come on, ooh, this is going to be good this morning. Boaz had to go talk to that kinsman redeemer and say, if you will not take it, then I am willing to take this. So this is where we are in verse 6. This is the other kinsman redeemer speaking. At this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate, my own people, my own family. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, old law, listen with me. Old law would not allow Gentile into covenant. Am I right? But Jesus purchased you from old law and brought forth generational hope for all mankind. Ladies, this is always a bigger picture of what's happening. Jesus went to Father God, and God said, I need you to go. I cannot do this. I want to give my own son. You redeem the lost. You redeem the Gentile. You redeem them so they can come into covenant with me, because old law is not going to allow this to happen. What's been done is not going to allow, but new law can. New covenant can allow this. Wow. So amazing. Let's read 7 and 8. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. Verse 8. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. Woo! Buy it yourself. Now we know that Jesus willingly went to the cross. He willingly went to the cross. Come on, ladies, even in the detail, buy it yourself. Give your life. Give your life. Ooh, I got Holy Spirit goosebumps right now. Buy it yourself. Verse 8, one more time. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. Let's talk about this sandal for a minute. This is a big deal. The word sandal, everyone say sandal. In Hebrew law means to unlock. Write that down. That's part of your worksheet. In Hebrew law, sandal means to unlock. So it meant to freed from old to be able to go into new. Freed, anytime you unlock something, you free it from where it's at so it can be placed somewhere new, right? Freed from old to be able to go into new. Boaz had to remove, unlock his sandal to purchase Ruth. Am I right? To legalize the transaction, to make it official, he had to do this. He had to unlock his sandal to purchase her. Now, what did Jesus have to remove to purchase us and free us from sin and law? What did he have to remove? What had to be unlocked in his life? Well, come on. He had to unlock himself and go to the cross. He had to be stripped down to humiliation so we could receive the benefit of freedom in Christ. He had to unlock himself from the throne of God, where he was seated and where the angels praised him and adored him, where everything was perfect and beautiful. He unstrapped himself from that place and came down through Mary, through 30, I don't know how many generations, but a lot of generations, so that he could give us life. So he could purchase us and make us his own. Boaz got the bride from his unlocking, did he not? Jesus got the bride from his unlocking. Wow. And for Boaz, the lineage continued through what seemed to be such a hopeless situation. Do you remember back in chapter 1 how hopeless the situation looked? Do you remember in chapter 1 how hopeless everything looked? Do you remember Naomi's confession? The Lord Almighty's hand is against me. Just call me bitterness. Just call me anything bad, because everything is hopeless. But look at verse 13. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her. That tells us we, apart from Jesus, cannot produce anything. Come on, ladies. Apart from Jesus, we cannot do anything. We cannot produce anything. God enables us. He enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. You have to remember that in the 10 years that they were in Moab, there is not one child mentioned. There is no life coming forth. All of a sudden, there is fruit in this place. God opened the womb of the Gentile, and it produced life. Come on, we're going to go deep here. Come with me. The church in itself is a womb. It has been opened through Christ. It is open so we can produce life in a world that seems hopeless. I need an amen, hallelujah, right there. Come on, ladies. This is a bigger picture. We are the womb. It has been opened through the purchase of our lives. We are called now to produce life and fruit in this world that seems dark and hopeless, and there's nothing good coming out of it. We are called. We are called. Ladies, lineage is not just about bloodlines only. I'm going to say that again. Lineage is not just about bloodlines only, but it's also faith to do what you believe. You can change a lot of stuff in your lineage and in your bloodline if you have the faith to do it. Come on, ladies, we always confess, well, it's in my blood. It's in my blood to be drawn to alcoholism. It's in my blood to be drawn to perversion. It's in my blood to spend too much money. It's in my blood to die at an early age. It's in my blood. We confess it all the time. I hear people all the time, people in the church confess such horrible things over their life because they say it's in my blood. But let me tell you something. If you have the faith to believe that you are bought by the Christ, the Son of God, you can change that bloodline. And your lineage can hook up to heaven where there is no sorrow, there is no sin, there is no sickness, there's no anxiety, there's no depression, there's no panic, there's no lifelessness. But you have the faith to believe it, to change it. You have to have the faith to believe it, to change it. You can change your heritage by a choice. I don't know if you've ever studied the Kings. But if you ever do, you will read after king, after king, after king. And this king was worse than the worst and the father. And this king was worse than the king before it. And this king. And then all of a sudden you have this generation of 10 kings doing horrible stuff. But this king, but this king, but this king found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And he changed everything. And he lived for Christ. And he threw down the Asherah poles. And he tore down the temples that were made to Baal. And he took the mounds and the stuff that they had put up. And he destroyed them. Come on, you cannot tell me that you can't change your past. It's a choice. You decide this generation right here is going to find favor in the eyes of the Lord. Come on, if that's not something to confess every morning, I don't know what is. Especially if you come from a hectic past or a hectic background where you are kind of like, I don't want to even talk about where I'm from. You can say, this generation right here will see the favor of God. The favor of God. It will be changed. It will be changed. We have to have the faith to believe it in our lives. Now, we are fixing to go into Bible class, ladies. I'm telling you, this is the first time I've ever felt that Holy Spirit is wanting to be extremely informative to you this morning. He wants to tell you some things about what's going on in your life. He wants to tell you some things about what's going on against the church. He wants to tell you some things about what's going on in the nations that surround us, in our government, in our country. He wants to tell you some informative things this morning, and I need y'all to have open ears to really receive what the Holy Spirit wants to say this morning. We're fixing to go to Bible study class, and I'm going to do my best to give you all the verses that line up with everything I'm about to say. I've written them all down. If you want to write them down and go back and study them yourself, please do so. If not, you can always go back to the podcast and listen to it again. Are you ready? I want us to look at verses 2 through 4 of chapter 4 before I begin.
back to the beginning of chapter 4. Number 2, Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here, and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. I want to talk about the 10 witnesses present at this exchange. 10 is a very important number in the book of Ruth. If you go back and research, you will know that in chapter 1, verse 4, they spent 10 years in Moab. Chapter 4, verse 2, there are 10 witnesses. Chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, there are 10 mentions of names in the genealogy. 10 means divine order. Write that down. 10 means divine order. Ladies, if God gives you a number, don't just ignore it. Go study what the biblical meaning of that number is. He has shown me so many things about my life through numbers. 10 equals divine order. What does that all mean? I'm glad you asked. We know Boaz is a picture of Jesus. Am I not right? And Boaz had 10 witnesses witness his exchange. That you know, gets me excited and tells me, well, what 10 were at the cross witnessing the exchange of sin? Come on, ladies. Who were the 10 groups of people at the cross that were witnessing the exchange of sin? If Boaz is the bigger picture of the purchase of Ruth, and he had to have 10 witnesses there, what are the 10 witnesses at the cross? Does this not get you excited? I'm glad you are this morning, because we're going there. We are going there right now. What 10 were at the cross witnessing the exchange of sin? Are you ready? Number 1, John. John chapter 19, verse 35. Tells us that John was present at the cross. John represents a friend, a very beloved friend. And he represents a disciple, a follower. Out of all the disciples, he is the only one mentioned at the cross. John. Number 2. John chapter 19, verse 25 tells us Mary, his mother, and Mary's sister were present at the cross. This represented family, bloodline, present at the exchange. Number 4, Mark chapter 15, verse 40 tells us about the women. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped 3, didn't I? My apologies. Go back. 3. Are you ready? Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene is a very special woman. She is the only one mentioned in all 4 Gospels as being present there. Everyone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all testify to Mary Magdalene being there. Who is Mary Magdalene and what is her significance? She was a follower of Christ. She was delivered from demonic oppression. Come on. She is the first preacher of the gospel. She was the first one to see Jesus alive and say, he's alive, to others. Wow. I love it. Love it. Number 4. I already kind of gave it to you, but I'll give it to you again. Mark 15:40. The women. All the Gospels actually account for the women. The women that followed Jesus and cared for his needs physically. I want to just tell you real quick that I believe the women represent the unexpected providers of your life. The unexpected provision that comes out of the clouds and you don't know where the heck it came from. Who would ever think that a bunch of women would support Jesus, the Almighty God, physically caring for his needs? Come on, ladies. Do I got some CEOs in here? The women. Number five, are you ready? Mark chapter 15, verse 31, and Matthew 27, 41. Testifies of the chief priests. The chief priests were there. Those who represent law and religion. They practice no grace in their actions. And they are harassing spirit. Every time Jesus was harassed, it seems like he was constantly harassed by the chief priests. Harassing. Number six, the Roman soldiers. Luke 23:36. They were the physical part of the crucifixion. Come on. The Roman soldiers were the ones that did all the physical part of crucifying Jesus. They represent those who physically persecute and hurt the body. The Roman soldiers. Luke 23:36. Number seven, the Bible talks about the passerbyers. In a lot of the Gospels, but I'm going to give you Mark chapter 15, verse 29, talks about the passerbyers that went by and mocked Jesus. Mocked him, representing those who poke fun. There will always be someone that pokes fun at the gospel. Come on, you know you run into those people. Well, you're a Bible thumper. You're a Bible thumper. Who's ever been told that? I'm the only one? I need to get new friends. People that mock and taunt and poke fun. Number eight, the two men crucified with him. This is Matthew 27, verse 38. These represent those who did wrong, but still received grace even in the final hour. I want to stop at this one for just a minute. This is amazing to me. I mean, when you do this study and you're actually looking at all this, you're like, wow. Have you ever heard the story of those who have just done wrong their whole life? I mean, we're talking like bad stuff. And then in their final hour, they ask Jesus into their heart, and then they go to heaven. Come on, ladies. I mean, we're talking about mass murderers, like people that, there's a lady that came to our church 10 years ago, and she gave her testimony. I forgot her name, but she was a woman that was a believer, and God gave her an abundance of grace to be in this high-speed chase with this serial killer that captured her. And all the way, he kept telling her he was going to kill her, he's going to kill her. She kept confessing the word. She knew that she had the peace. She knew that God had appointed her at this moment and gave her such grace. And all the way to the precinct, when they finally caught this man, this woman stayed alive and was never even harmed. And she led this man to Jesus. This man had just got done killing women the night before, brutally killing women everywhere. He received grace at the final hour. Whew. Man. There's nothing you can do so bad to not receive grace at the final hour. Number nine, the centurion who believed at his death. Mark 15, verse 39. This man believed after he heard the glory of God being spoken from Jesus' lips. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, my God, help me. Help me. He said some other stuff too. And then he says, it is finished. And he died. And the centurion looked up and the Bible says he believed that this was the Son of God. The centurion, the glory of God being spoken from the lips of those who confess his name. Number 10, are you ready? This is the last witness. Teachers of the law, Mark 15:31. Teachers of the law,
These are your pastors. These are the ones that teach out of the Word of God. These were present at the exchange.
Wow! You might be saying, this is great info, Amanda! Whoa! But how does this actually relate to my life right now? I mean, why is all you giving me all this amazing info? I'm so glad to know that all these different groups of people were witnessing this at Jesus' life. And yes, this is good stuff and this is deep stuff. I'm excited. But what does this have to do with my issue right down today that I have to deal with? I'm glad you asked me that. We're going there. The Bible is a treasure book. You've got to know this before I say anything else. The Bible is a treasure book of answers for life. If you seek it, He will show it to you. There were 10 witnesses at the exchange. These represent the witnesses in your life. And also the witnesses of the current body of Christ. God gives us all this information so we are aware of our own surroundings. So you are not surprised by people's actions or actions against the current body of believers, the church. Because why? You have already read and understood what Christ endured. Ladies, there has been times in my life that I have wondered, why is this person in my life? Why is this person? Why is this situation here? What's going on against the government? What's going on against the body of believers? Why is there so much persecution against Christians in other countries? What is going on? Come on, ladies. This just informs you the surroundings that we are faced with. This is who is witnessing what's going on around us. This lets you know who is around you, who's watching, what you're going to deal with, what's happening. So you're not surprised when people's actions blow your mind because you have read it and you can say, yeah, I get that. One of the hardest things to overcome is how quickly people can change on you. Their actions and their responses. Jesus had 5,000 people on the mountain listening to him. And one of his disciples at the cross. One. Witnesses watching the cross. Watching the cross being worked out in your life. Witnesses. People surrounding you. Who is it? Take notice. You'll go home today and you'll take notice. You'll start to see why you endured a little bit of physical persecution here. Oh, you're right. You're the Roman soldier in my life. Come on, ladies. Then you'll realize that all of a sudden, God just provides unexpected financial blessing in your life. You don't know where it comes from. You say, oh, you're the women. Thank you, God, for the women. All of a sudden, you'll be doing stuff and you'll be doing great stuff for the Lord. And all of a sudden, someone will come out of the woodwork and tell you that you're not right with the Word of God and that you're off. And you'll say, oh, I get that. You're the chief priest. I get that. I just pray that the gospel would touch you and that you would be transformed and that you would hear the good news of grace. Come on, ladies, this is going to give you such an abundance of grace for people in your life, places where you would have just blown up and exploded on situations, and you'll say, no, I know about this, and now I have grace for it, and I can pray over it, because it has already been written. It has been written, and God said, it is finished. Come on, this is good stuff right here. Now, as I began to do this, of course, my mind was like, I wish I could see inside my mind sometimes what's going on. Because then I began to ponder, well, if these are the witnesses of the cross being worked out in my life, what were the witnesses of the resurrection power, the good, the other side of what the cross was being represented? What is the other side? Who got to see that? So I began to study, and the Holy Spirit said, go on, girlfriend. You begin to study. So I began to study in the Word of God, and I began to write down who got to see the resurrection of Christ. We're talking not afterwards. I'm talking at the tomb. Are you ready? In research, Matthew tells us that Mary Magdalene was at the tomb. Matthew also tells us that another woman named Mary was at the tomb. In Mark tells us that a woman named Salome was at the tomb. In Luke tells us that Johanna was at the tomb. And Peter, a disciple, was at the tomb and saw the empty tomb. John tells us of himself. He's so funny. Of course, you know, he outran the other disciples. I get it. You know, he's the one that stuck closer than a brother. He really stuck close to a brother, so he kind of gave himself some whoop. And when he wrote his gospel. But John confesses, and I was present at the tomb, and I outran the other disciple. He's so funny. He makes me laugh. I can't wait to meet him. All these were mentioned. Oh, before I do that, I thought it was very interesting that 3 out of the 5 people were women. I know. I said the same thing. Women experiencing resurrection power. Why in the homes do women tend to be the spiritual leader? Why is it? Right here, ladies. Come on. We are hungry for the resurrection power and to see it in our lives. We are hungry and we are willing to go to the tomb, to the place of death, to see the exchange for life. We are willing. Now, I'm not dogging men because men are amazing leaders in our houses, in our country, in our community. But I'm telling you, a woman has godly influence. Why do you think the enemy went to the woman with the apple and not the man? There is godly counsel inside a woman. All these went together when I began to think about it. Well, this makes sense, God. These were all disciples and followers of Christ. Of course we, the godly people, the followers of Christ, of course we get to see his resurrection power. Come on, that's what we hear every Sunday morning. You get to experience God. You get to see his glory. You are a special people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are awesome, and you get to see the power of Jesus alive in your life. Come on, you know you hear that every morning. This made sense to me. Of course we get to see the resurrection power. But when I was done, I said, God, something in me didn't feel complete. Something in me felt selfish. Well, of course we're good people, we're godly people. We get to see the good, right? Something in me just didn't feel complete. And I asked the Lord, I said, is there somebody else that gets to witness this resurrection power? And he said, yes. He says, as you can remember, you only found 6. He says, 6 is not my number. He says, 7 is completion. He says, there is one more person that gets to witness my resurrection. Are you ready? Go to Matthew 28 right now. Matthew 28. Matthew is the first book of the Gospels. Matthew 28. Verse 11 through 15. I'm going to read it real quick. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. Verse 12. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. 13. Telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets out to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. Verse 15, so the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Now, the soldiers are the 7th witnesses of the exchange of resurrection power. And as I saw this, I thought, the soldiers represent the outside world. The soldiers represent the outside world. So you mean that the outside world gets to experience grace
and resurrection power, not just the godly and the people that obey the word. Are you telling me, Jesus, that the outside world gets a chance at grace and life and resurrection power? Are you telling me that the drunkard gets a second chance? Are you telling me that the abused and the abuser get a second chance at life and resurrection power? Are you telling me that the druggie and the prostitute and the atheist and the agnostic and those who don't believe, they all get a second chance at the resurrection power and life of God? Is that what you're telling me? Are you telling me that the Hindu and the Muslims and the ones that are in ISIS that are killing Christians, you're telling me that they get a chance at the grace and resurrection power of God? They get a chance at it? Listen to this. But in the scripture, as we just read, they are told a lie by man to say and spread. And this lie was given a large sum of money. Look at verse 12. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say that his disciples came in the night." Ladies, don't you think the world is still receiving that lie today? I want you to think about this for a minute. That Jesus and his resurrection power is not true. And they use money and they use material goods of this world to convince you, us, believers, unbelievers, that happiness with these things outweighs the truth of who Jesus is and the power that he gives us. Come on, ladies. What do you see on the TV? What do you see everywhere around you? Material goods, money, glorified, all the things. It's a lie. It's a lie. And it's still being circulated today, even as the word says. It's still being circulated today. Don't tell them what you really saw. Don't tell them that you experienced resurrection power and Jesus' amazing love. Tell them the other stuff. And he threw money at them to spread the lie. Wow, I don't know about you, but I relate to this really big. I see this in the world. This is my prayer for this world, because it has changed after studying this. My prayer for this world is that the lie that started on that night would be silenced. That people would no longer be deceived by the enemy who plotted the lie of Jesus' power in our lives. Come on, ladies. What if the whole body of believers knew this information and began to join together and pray for this world not to believe the lie that the world sends us every single day, that joy is found in the bar, that joy is found in affairs, that joy is found in your car and your boat and the possessions of this world and in your job? No. What if we got together and said, Lord, let them believe the truth that the only thing that satisfies our hunger is the blood of Jesus and relationship and intimacy with him? Wow, that they would not believe the lie anymore, that they would see the truth, know the truth, because what? The truth will set you free. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for what you have taught us today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are an informative spirit that teaches us so that we do not lack wisdom and understanding in our lives. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, that we would walk this out in our lives, so that we would understand what's going on in this world, that we would understand what's going on in our lives, Lord, that we would not be deceived and upset and get all frustrated because we're lacking understanding. But God, you have informed us, you have taught us, you are instilling in us wisdom so that we would not perish. Father, that these women would understand and know who you are and the greatness of your glory. Protect them, guide them, lead them. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that hears this message. I pray against any attack of the enemy that would try to steal, kill, and destroy, because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. God, you are good, and you are good to us. Father, we pray for this world. We pray for this world, Father. We pray that the blind eyes will begin to see, that they would not believe this lie that was started so many years ago, Father, that they would see the truth through us, the fruit that you gave us through opening the womb of our lives, Lord, so that we can produce good in this world. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. We thank you for this time, and I give you all the glory. It is all you, and it is all about you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.